Ramban teaches us that there's a mitzvah to remember Maamid Har Sinai. It's us to forget Maamid Har Sinai. Shiyu einenu libenu sham kol hayamim. That our eyes and our hearts need to be there all the days. What does that mean? Really, what does that mean? Do you remember Maamid Har Sinai? We were all there. I don't remember it. How can you tell me that I have to remember? Right? My eyes and my heart have to be there all the days and pass it on to my children. Pass it on to my children. I don't remember anything. Mela, right? If let's say, you know, we could all trace our father, who was a gigantic tzaddik, heard it from his father, who was a gigantic tzaddik. Who heard it from his father and his father and his father and his father, all the way back to Maamid Har Sinai. Okay, fine. But unfortunately, that's not always the case, right? And it's probably more the exception than the rule. So what does it mean? Does it make them no longer applicable to us? So I learned that the idea of your eyes and your heart being there all the days, your eyes are the way that you perceive reality through the lens of Maamid Har Sinai. Your eyes are the lens that you perceive the reality that's outside of you. To understand, to look at, to, as it were, have an attitude towards the world as based upon Maamid Har Sinai. And your heart, right, your heart is your sense of the internal reality, your sense of being, your sense of self has to be seen through the lens of Maamid Har Sinai. Pasuk says, Mishamayim Ishmat Adin. Right? Eretz Yara Vishakata. A Pasuk in Tehillim, Ayin Vav. From Shamayim, you cause to be heard Din. 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 That's the Torah. Eretz Yara Vishakata. The earth trembled and then became still. Yara, afraid, trembled, Vishakata. Says the Gemara. Omar Chizkiah. My dichsiv, what is it that it says? Mishamay Mishmat Adin Eretz Yara Vishakata. This is the Gemara in Shabbos on Peches and Ralph. In Yara, Lama Shakata. If it was afraid, then why did it become, as it were, calm afterwards? Im Shakata, and if it was calm, Lama Yara. Why was it afraid? Elo Bitchila Yara. Right? The mission of the pasuk sounds like it's telling us a paradox. Eretz Yara Vishakata. It's afraid and tranquil. No, it's in sequence, it's linear. Ela b'tchila yara, in the beginning it was in the state of yara, l'besof shakata, and at the end it was tranquil. V'lama yara, why was it afraid? Why was the earth afraid? Why was Isibaratius afraid? Reality, existence. Why was it afraid? Lama Yara, Kidereish Lakish, like Reish Lakish taught us. The Amar Reish Lakish, my Dixi, what is it that it says? Vayerev, Vayivoker, Yom Hashishi. And we will say Kiddush. Or in Davening, right? Well, we'll say Kiddush, right? Kiddush, Vayerev, Vayivoker, Vayar, Lakim, Eskola, Sharasov, Vayne Tov, Maod, Vayerev, Vayivoker, Yom Hashishi. Yom Hashishi. Yom Hashishi. Yom Shishi. Yom Shishi. Vayer Vayvoker Yom Echad. Vayer Vayvoker Yom Sheni. Shlishi. Revi'i. Chamishi. So the reason it says Yom Echad on the first day because there's only the Rabbono Shlom. There are no other, or as it were, creations that he was joining with or using. Yeah, etc. Echad. To remind us that Hashem is Ein Od Milvado. Okay, but then the subsequent days, Sheini, Shlishi, Rabi, Chamishi, all of a sudden comes Yom Hashishi. Why does it say Hashishi? Hey, Yisera, there's an extra hey there. Lamali, Malamed, Shehisna, Kodesh Baruch Hu, to teach us that Kodesh Baruch Hu made a tznai, he made a condition. He might be voracious with creation. Va'amalehem, and he said to all of creation, that means everything. With the Malachim, with the Strophim, the Ophanim, the Chayos, right? The Crab Nebula, the Pygmy Shrews, the Paramecium, right? He said to everything. He said, Hisna Kodesh Baruch Hu imas ibereshis va'amalehem. Im Yisrael mekabli ma'torah, aten miskaimim. If the Jewish people accept the Torah, then you will have existence. Atem miskaimim, you'll have existence. V'im lav, ani magzir eschem letov avol. And if the Jewish people don't accept the Torah, right, don't accept the Torah, then I'll return the world to tov avol, to the primeval Chomer v'tzura. No more Crab Nebula. No more Malachi Ashores. No more Pygmy Shoes or Paramecium. Chas Emes asks, he says, listen to this. Ela b'tchila yara l'besof shakata. He brings the Gemara. Kidereish Lakish, etc. Nira HaPerush, right? Nira HaPerush, says Sfasemes. Sfasemes is a fountainhead of linkage between Torah and a person's kochos ha-nefesh. Sfasemes, everything he teaches in such a way that you can read the Torah off the cloth, off the parchment of your being. He that's the way he explains things. He's nira perish ayideh hayira shakata lebesof. He doesn't say that it's just it was year in the beginning and shakata at the end. Because why do you have to go this whole rigmarole, right? Why do you have to go this whole 9 yards here? Why doesn't Hashem just say the Jewish people are going to accept the Torah, period, right? Why is there a tznai? Why is there a condition? If yes, it's fine. If no, it's mukhlach. It has to be. It has to be to accept the Torah. He says the perush is sha'al yidei ha'yira shakata lebesof. What transpired at Maamar Har Sinai was that through the yira, then came the tranquility. Kimat Sorech Lichin Reish Lakish. What do we need is only 9 yards from Reish Lakish. The Tanai, the condition with my Sibarashis, Hashem says to creation, you should know that if the Jews accept the Torah, then you have continuity. If Jews don't accept the Torah, you'll revert to Tov Avol. Hello, lo yiksha lama yara. Rak im yara lama shakata. The akushim and manafshach. The question is something doesn't make sense here. Im ze sheyira ikar in kein masha kota. In other words, the question is, what did Maisa Bereishis have to enter into a state of yira? If the point is yira, so then why tranquility afterwards? If the point is to be in a state of tranquility, then why the yira beforehand? That's what it's called. That's also point. We'll see in a second. Okay, right. Umeshanish al yedei hayira b'tchila shakata l'besof. Through the yira, tranquility is reached. Kimlo hayat zorech b'tznai lekabolas haTorah. Lama hisna kodesh baruch b'shas habriya. In other words, for some reason, there has to be a condition over here. It can't be that the Torah automatically is going to be, this is the fait accompli, the Torah is going to be accepted. It can't be. There has to be a choice. And Hashem has to make a condition with creation. The choice, if you live up to the choice, I mean, if the Jewish people, as it were, they choose properly, then creation will continue. And if not, not. It had to be in the form of a choice, and therefore it says the Sfas Emes, right, the Sfas Emes, that the Yira, the question of the Gemara is, what do you call it? Right? So what does it mean, Yira first, and then what do you call it, Shaketa afterwards? It says, through the Yira, then there's Shaketa. Rav Yisrael haya hachana lekabalas haTorah. Right? First of all, the Bria is conditional. It has to be conditional on acceptance of the Torah. The Bria can't stop, right? Can't stop, as it were, the what he called Kabbalah Satorah. But there's got to be a choice. In other words, the fact that the world entered into a state of yira, that enabled the Klal Yisrael, right, to accept the Torah and to bring the world to tranquility afterwards. What do I mean? What does he mean? Right? How do I understand what he means? Yiras Hashem, right? Yiras Hashem. So, I learned from my Rebbe, yeah? Yiras Hashem is when you sense that your existence is conditional. That's what Yiras Hashem is. What is Yira? Yira, what are we afraid of? We're afraid of, right? We're afraid of something that we see might put an end to our existence to a greater degree or a lesser degree. It can be pain, it can be death, it can be all sorts of things. But somehow my existence is going to be lessened somehow. A dog, God forbid, could bite me, right? I could lose my money. It's all a lessening of my being, of my existence, the way I'm familiar with it. We become afraid of all sorts of things. We are afraid of all sorts of things. Like they say about, I don't think it was Balatanya, I think it was what he called the Middle Rebbe. They put him in prison, Chabad. They put him in prison in Russia. They wanted to sign some sort of false, you know, admission that he had done something wrong, and they put a gun to his head, and he said to them later on, with Sharansky used the same line, right? I guess it's a Russian, what do you call it, Minhag. He says, you can only frighten a person, right, who's got two gods and one world. But a person who's got one god and two worlds, right, you can't frighten him. Because if you've got one Hashem, then you're not afraid of anything. You're only afraid of Hashem. Nothing, right? you never feel that your existence, as it were, is questioned or might come into question or might be lessened by anything. All you care about is your relationship with Hashem. And of course, you've got two worlds, right? This world is just the prozdor, the next world is the trakhlim. He says, you can only make somebody afraid if he's got two gods and if he's not really sure who's running the show, etc. He's only got one world. He's only convinced that there's one world. That person you can make afraid. You take away my money, you take away my health, you take away, yeah, my clothing, my prestige, you take away whatever you take away from me. So I feel insecure. But if you've got one God and two worlds, you're never insecure. Yiras Hashem is that my sense of being is called into question only vis-a-vis one thing, the Rabbono Shel Olam. And if he wills, therefore I be. And if God forbid he would will otherwise, then I am not. That's Yiras Hashem. That's Yiras Hashem. The world had to go into a state of Yira. Because what does Yira do? Yira gets a person to focus. When the world itself, the essence of the world, is in a state of fear, that means the vibes all around, the Jewish people can sense it, that the world is conditional. The world itself senses it's conditional. The world is shaking. If Klal Yisrael takes the Torah, then there will be continuity. And if Klal Yisrael doesn't take the Torah, there is no continuity. The fact that the world, the backdrop of the world, was in a state of Yira, that gave clarity to the Jewish people. That is, I'm not saying this Fasemis now, but that is, yeah, what Chazal say, that at Maimer HaSinai, Roim es hanira, v'shomim, right? Roim es hanishma, v'shomim es hanira. At Maimer HaSinai, they saw what ordinarily people hear, and they heard what people ordinarily saw. Says Reb Chaim Yevolozhin, what does that mean? When you see something, you know it's there. I see it, right? I have no doubt about its existence. I have not the slightest doubt. If I hear something in the distance, it's not 100% clear to me. I hear, I think, I know what that sound comes from. I think I know to identify it, but it's not as, right? Seeing is believing, right? There's no comparison between seeing and hearing. You see it, it's clear. Olam Hazeh for us is what we ordinarily see. The Olam Emes is what we hear. We don't see it, we hear it. Makes sense to us, we believe it, we hear it. Hear it, but I don't see it. At Maimer HaSinai, they saw that which ordinarily a person hears. They saw the Olam HaEmes, that was reality. Under normal circumstances, a person hears it, doesn't see it, but they saw it. And on the contrary, on the other side of the coin, what a person ordinarily sees in his Olam Hazeh, that they heard. Yeah, I can hear this Olam Hazeh. But the absolute, yeah, truth, the real, deepest reality is the Olam Emes. This was made possible because the vibes of the world at that time generated, cried out, existence, reality is conditional. Eretz Yara. The world was in a state of trembling, and the Jewish people picked up on it. They picked up on it, and that's why Maimer HaSinai was, of course, Nasa V'Nishma. Because what ordinarily, before Maimer HaSinai, they only heard, now they saw it. And that which they before they saw, that became subordinate, secondary. Now they heard it. why was this necessary? Because that became part of the experience of Mamre Har Sinai. That became indelibly printed upon us. We always have the capacity, right? It's like what he called Mashal Chochma says. When Chazal talk about the three emunas of the Jewish people, in Mitzrayim, they came to grips with Hashgacha, like Amen Ha'am. They believed. They believed that God was involved in their lives. At Kriyas Yamsuf, they came to grips with the idea of Enod Milvado. Right? They participated in Kriyas Yamsuf, they jumped in, etc. They gave them the capacity, as it were, to realize that Hashem is Enod Milvado. The very hand that saved them is punishing what he called the Mitzri. Enod Milvado. It was an incredible experience. But at Mamre Har Sinai, when they heard Hashem talking to them, on the backdrop, as it were, of the era that they perceived in the world before the words of Torah, before Hashem spoke to them, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, and Yehel Lechoy Lehim Acherim Alponai, that, like the Meshech Chochma says, that is imprinted on every Jewish soul, and it'll never leave us. That's why it says in Meretz Yisrael, Vayamein Am. Okay? In Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayaminu Vashem, Moshe Avdo. And in Mamre Har Sinai it says, Vagam Becha, not only in I, the Ribbono Shalom says, but even in you, Moshe Avinu, that you're the one who's bringing you in the Torah, Vagam Becha, Yaminu Le'olam. That emuna is inside of us. It never leaves us. Never leaves us. It's always there. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We don't need to recreate it. It's there. We need to uncover it. We need to uncover it. Therefore, that's why the Ramban says, we have to remember Mamre Har Sinai. It's not that I have to remember what row and what column I was in. Because I don't know. I don't remember. But our eyes and our hearts have to be there, always. I have to keep alive that perception of my external reality, of the nature, the true nature of the world. The world is conditional. Right? Only if Klai Yisrael keeps the Torah is the world to be. And my heart... Yeah, my heart, my internal reality, that I be. Why? Because Hashem wills, therefore I be. Not I think, therefore I am. Not I desire, therefore I am. I see, therefore I am. He wills, therefore I be. He wills, therefore I be. I have to look at the world that way, my Einayim, and my heart has to be at my Mamre Har Sinai. Reality, and within that same set of that same stage, Yira, connection to the Torah, Shaketa. Reality will not continue. Says the Sfas Emes, this becomes the pattern of the way we always do Torah and Mitzvos. We have to break the shell. Sometimes some people say this, Shem Yichud Kut Shabrichu. B'dechilu u'b'derechimu, with fear and with love, we do the mitzvos. With fear, says the Sfas Emes, that comes before. Fear, not like, oh, if I don't do this, Hashem is going to slap me up. The fear that we talked about before, that reality, right, is conditional. Reality depends on connection to Torah. That type of yira. Breaking through the shell of oftentimes are falling into the prosaic, the mundane, the way the 99.99% of the world relates to the world. The world is. Oh, you're a religious Jew, that's very nice. That probably keeps you off drugs. That's nice. And you have such wonderful customs and really very quaint practices and so nice, very quiet. Yeah, right. That's very nice. Very. It's really a lot. I respect religious people. It is, right? Yira, revert back to the same model of accepting the Torah. Before we do the mitzvah, first remember, this is reality. This is what's real. What I'm going to do now, this mitzvah, and the truth is, life is always punctuated with mitzvahs, right? But we need to remember that this is real. This is real. The other stuff is not real. I mean, not real. I mean, out of the hurt, right? I understand it's real. Yeah. But it's temporal. It's here today, right? And after many tomorrows, or maybe not that many tomorrows, it's gone. But the mitzvah is eternal. First is Zechilu, Yira, Dalet Ches, Yud, Lamed Vav, Zechilu, that's in Aramaic, Yira, and then there's the Ava, Rechimu, love, the Ava. That's when you do the mitzvah. You leave behind, penetrated the shell of all of Hazda that blocks, yeah, our connection to Torah and mitzvos. Penetrated with remembering, I only be because He wills. And the only reason He wills that I be is because of this. Because of this, because of this. Because of Torah, because of mitzvos. That penetrates the shell, and then once you're inside, the mitzvah is done with Ahava, with love, with excitement, with affection, with a sense of I'm touching, I'm kissing eternity. That's what we celebrate on Shavuos. We lost those first luchos. We were broken, Shivasa Batamus. Really, the day that we got the Torah back was Yom Kippur. That's when we got the Luchos Shniyos. But we never completely lost that connection, that transformation of self that we experienced at Matan Torah, Mar Har Sinai. We didn't lose it completely. We're not on the same level that we were at the time of the first Matan Torah. Had we been, and as we learned together, right, and we learned Yisnach Moshe and Matas Chelko, that had we been on the same Madrega, as at the time of Matan Torah, there'd be no death, there'd be no Shiva Malchios, it would be a different place. It would be a completely different place. That would have been it. Whatever that means would have been it. But it would have been it. We know, unfortunately, what death is. We know what Shivud Malchios is. But inside of us, we still have, right? Einenu v'libeinu can always return back to what it called to Maamar Har Sinai. Our eyes and our hearts can always return back to Maamar Har Sinai. Always return. And we must never, ever let go of that. It's a mitzvah. Not to let go of Maamar Har Sinai. Not to remember a dry fact in history. But to reawaken, reignite my true attachment to reality.
So, according to the Selah, what I got is that Yira is why you do the mitzvah, like this whole thing, and Ava is how you do the mitzvah, right?
Okay, I would say that Yira reminds you, right? In other words, you know, sometimes you ever read that book, right, To Remain a Jew, about Rav Yitzchak Silber? He was an exquisite human being. Right? I knew him a little bit after he came to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Russia. He lived through the times of Stalin. He never was Michal Shabbos. He got put in, what he called, in prison, right, in a work camp for several years, etc. He got fired, what he called, you can't imagine. You can't imagine. You know, you just read it over and over and over and over. It's not like the temptation to make $1 million, right? You know, should I be Machal Shabbos or not? It's like, if you're not going to be Machal Shabbos, you're not going to work. And if you're not going to work, you're going to starve to death. And your wife is going to starve to death. And your children are going to starve to death. Because if you work, you live. And if you don't work, die. That's the way it was in communist Russia. Not to mention the fact that if people realize you're not working on Shabbos, finding some way not to work on Shabbos, they're going to put you away right in Siberia for the next 15 years. And you'll die there. You'll die there. And he just refuses. He will not. Where does that come from? It comes from because it's so clear to him that the reality is there's a borei olam, and the borei olam is in Shabbos. You're not allowed to nechal Shabbos. You're not allowed to eat non-kosher meat. You're not allowed to be over averus. You're supposed to be learning Torah, right? Right? So he learns Torah at every spare moment. He's a mathematician, right? He taught mathematics, he taught physics, he taught all these things. But he learned Torah, you have to do mitzvot, you have to help other people, right? So that's what Moshe wants. And these other things over here, these are like mosquitoes, you know? So his eyes and his heart were always at Mount Harsinai. So the Yira is, because the Yira, I mean, he was always living in a state of Yira. He was always living in a state of Yira. But for the rest of us who are preoccupied with it's getting worn out. I should get a new suit. My cuticles look like the devil. I wonder how much the dollar is going to be worth this week. I think maybe I get some more hours to teach. Gas is so expensive.
We're not on a level to do it. Some people are so smart.
So first we need the year just to break the bubble. Right? It's very hard to just to plunge in and do it with Ava. Right? If you're thinking about something else.
There is a level, right?
What?
There is a level to just plunge in and do it now.
Then chances are you probably have experienced the year of beforehand also. Right? We love my hold, right? I'm embarrassed to say me, right? My hold on Olam Hazeh. It's too, right? Okay. Again, we're talking about scared. When I'm talking about Yira, I'm not talking about scared. I'm not talking about, you know, he's going to send out a lightning bolt. What if I don't do it with Kavana? What if I don't do it right? I don't mind the tan, but gosh, I don't want to look like a toasty. I don't want to look like one of those burnt raisins. Galaxy raisin red. I don't want that. Right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about leaving behind, yeah, leaving behind all the nonsense, all the stuff that's here today and gone tomorrow. When you have a person that's real Yira, you're not angry with anybody else. Because first of all, it's shooting yourself as a leg. And second of all, right, in probably whatever amount of time, you won't even remember what you're angry about anymore. Is it to ruin my eternity because I'm preoccupied with something that's literally here today and gone tomorrow? You're focused on whatever it is. This year is that it's nothing's gonna hit me. It's like on the one hand, he's giving me being. That's a kiss. He's giving me existence. How can I not be thankful to somebody who's giving me being right now? He's giving me being right now. On the other hand, he's giving me being. My breathing. He's giving it to me. I realize my life is in his hands. Again, not because he's going to smack me up. It's just like, you know, you're standing before, your existence is conditional.
what is your existence for? We're Jews. What's your existence for? So we're going to live in Olam Hazeh, but we live in Olam Hazeh because everything we touch in Olam Hazeh, we try to transform to the best of our ability into another connection to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Our hearts and our eyes are there all the days. The world had to enter into a state of yira, so that reports of the Jewish people could recognize, they could sense, they could perceive it in the very bria. Existence is conditional. It's conditional upon what? One thing. Yom HaShishi. I'm being makabel the Torah. And transforming that Torah into the way we think about the world, the way we speak within the world, the way we conduct ourselves in the world. Each one of us, the world stands upon, because each one of us in our own unique way carries the Torah. No one else is going to carry it like you, or like you, or like me, or like anybody here. It's all different. So the year breaks the idols, as it were, on the outside. My preoccupation with my money and my looks and my fame and my popularity, right? And my longevity of life, to live, of course, to be 250 and never look a day older than whatever. And then, once the person is in that holy atmosphere, then it's done to Allah. Yira brings Eretz Yara to Shaketa. There. So this is something really to ponder, right? As we come closer to Shavuos. As we come closer to Shavuos. What do we have from Shavuos? We have the ability. We always have the ability. We always have the ability to reconnect. Not to recreate. We don't have to recreate the spark inside of us. The gam, the cha, yaminu la'olam. Right? They'll believe in me. It's written on every Jew's heart. It's written on every Jew's heart that there's a borei olam, and that borei olam is involved in our lives, and he speaks to us through the Torah. And he gave us a marching plan for life, for eternity. Right? And it's called the Torah, and it's in every Jew's heart. He can say he doesn't believe it. He can say it's old wives' tales. He can say it's a cock and bull story. It's there. You have free will. You can deny anything. You can say you don't feel it because you've piled up so much junk on top of it, right? So you don't feel it so much. It's there. So the yira breaks the shell, and then the ava. Right? The Av is done, right? Is done. The mitzvah is done. The Torah is learned. Right? The chesed is done with that sense of connection to the borei olam. So Hashem says another Nakuda. And this is also important. I think it blends in with the first one. He says, why do we read Rus? Why do we read Rus? On Shavuos. Stavra Melch was born on Rikot on Shavuos, who's the Yimish of Malchus, right? It's all true. He says a very fascinating thing. He says Boaz married Rus. Why? Because he believed in the Drasha, the Torah Shebal Peh, that said that you should read the Pasuk. Lo yovo al amoni umoavi bekal Hashem ador asiri, right? Don't allow an amoni umoavi to come into kal Hashem. And Chazal say it means amoni velo amonis, moavi velo moavis. In other words, an amoni or a moavi, a male who converts, he becomes Jewish, but he never can remove the blemish of Ammon and Moab. He's never a full-fledged member of the Kahal in that sense. He can marry a Ger, he can marry another Moavi, another Ammoni, right? etc., he can't marry a regular Jewess. But a Moaviah, a woman Moaviah, a woman Ammonis, is allowed to convert and become a full-fledged member of Klal Yisrael. Boaz believed that. He believed in the drash of Chazal. That's why he married Ruth. Even though he was a person of stature, she was like this you know, Gioris from, what do you call it, from out of town, right, etc. And, you know, and he was a judge. He was a judge of the Jewish people. You know, it's pashmish. This is the mitzvah. She's in the terrace. He married her. From out of the action of Boaz, from out of the action of Ruth, who was a daughter of Eglon Melech Moab, who was used to a very elaborate lifestyle. Even after she married, right, she and what do you call it, and Orpah married Machlon Bekilion, but they were chashev people, and her mother-in-law was a chashev woman, and her father was a chashev man, and now they've lost everything. Elimelech is gone, Machlon Bekilion are gone, and what can Naomi offer her? She tells her, go home, go back to where you came from. What can I bring you? I can only bring a life of misery and poverty, right? What can I give you? Orpah says, it was hard for me to leave you, but I'm going to leave you. Right? She gives her a kiss. She goes back to the land of Moab. Eventually becoming the mother of Goliath. Right? And Ruth, she won't give it. She won't give it. So here are people. On the one hand, a woman who appears to have no future. Right? Nothing special, that's for sure. A man who's willing, as it were, yeah, to listen to the words of Chazal and Choshev, judge, and marry a poor Gioris, yeah, a Boaviah nonetheless. From them comes Torah itself. A whole Megillah with Ruach HaKodesh is written about them. And from their union comes David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, comes Moshiach Hashem. When a Jew lives, take the two Sfasemesis, yeah? When a person lives with the understanding, right, that there is an ultimate truth in the way you lead your life, if you're connected to the Torah, then you're leading a life of eternity. Then not only are you doing the right thing, but they're writing an eternal book about you. Writing an eternal book about you. Chida says in Parshas Baloscha, we mentioned it before, the Nunim Afuchim, the backwards Nunim that brace the two Pesukim, Vayhi Ben Tzoa Aaron and Uvenucho Yomar, Parshas Baloscha. So Chazal say it's a sefer unto itself. It's a book into itself. There's Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, up until that point. Those two Pesukim are a book into themselves, a sefer in themselves, and then Bamidbar until the end of Bamidbar, and then Dvar. So really, there's seven books of the Torah. Seven books of the Torah. Chatzva, Mudeh, Shiva. Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, three parts to Bamidbar, and Dvar. Seven books. Says the Chidah, that those two psukim are the biggest book in the Torah. Because when it's talking about the Jewish people traveling in sync with the Aron, by even so Aron, Kum Hashem, you travel with the Torah, your enemies are vanquished, you're attached to the Torah. And when you come to your final respite, Hashem says it's time to rest, and how the Jewish people, as it were, will stand as a vehicle that carries Hashem. Says the Chidah, that's the biggest book of the Torah, because contained in those two psukim are the travels of the Jewish people to the end of days. That's our story. they're writing a book. As much as we remain attached to the Torah, they're writing a book of excellence about each one of us upstairs. And it'll be read one day. It'll be read. Da mala mala mimcha, right? Ayin roa, the ozer shomas, the chol ma'asecha v'sefer nechtavim. It's not just a writing down to merits. Chol ma'asecha v'sefer nechtavim, they're writing a book of glory about us. You have to keep that in mind as we approach Shavuos. That's what we have from Shavuos. The capacity to keep our eyes and our hearts, yeah, always attached to Sinai. And to take that world view, that internal world view of the heart and that external world view of the eyes, and to transform it into the way that we live life every day, every day, every day, every day. We should rejoice on Shavuos. It's the most exquisite day. Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lichvodo V'Hivdilanu Min HaTohim V'Nasalanu Toras Emes V'Chaye Olam, an eternal life, Nata B'Sochem, He implanted inside of us. He wrote it on our hearts. And because of that, we have the capacity to generate Torah. The book of Vayhi Ben Soharon, Megillas Rus, all the Torah Shebaal Peh that we live. Saying that those two psukim, the what he called, the Chiddush says, contains the story, our story, the story of the Jewish people to the end of days. So just as the Tzvasemis says that Boaz listened to what he called the Drasha of Chazal, Rus decided not to abandon Yiddishkeit, even though it meant life and penury and being lower caste, etc. When you attach yourself to that, they write a book about you. Says Tzvasemis, they wrote Megillas Rus, Baruch HaKodesh, about people who made difficult decisions, but followed what we call the Derech HaTorah, and they generated a book, Baruch HaKodesh. I'm just saying the Chiddush says that all of our books are being written, right? The degree to which our eyes and our hearts remain at Minor Hasina all the days, that makes those books more excellent.